following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast Studio in Schenectady, New York. We have another great show for you. We'll preview the Union Hockey Weekend for the men and women. The men head to Colgate and Cornell this weekend, looking to solidify their spot in the top four of the ECAC hockey standings. Union right now tied for third with Dartmouth, and they're just a couple, 3 points behind Colgate, the team they play on Friday night for second place. So we'll talk with players Cullen Ferguson, Caden Villegas, and Brandon Burr. The women play their final two regular season games ever at Mesa Rink as Colgate and Cornell come to Mesa for the final time. The Union women are a half point behind Brown for the last home ice spot for the first round game of the ECAC hockey tournament. The Union was briefly in eighth place after Friday when they beat Brown, but lost to Yale on Saturday, and Brown beat RPI, so they flip-flop once again. But Union looking to at least get one more game at Mesa in a couple of weeks in that ECAC hockey tournament first round game. Of course, they have tough opponents coming up. They did beat Cornell at Cornell early in the season. They almost beat Colgate at Colgate. So you got to give the Garner Chargers a chance in this one. So we talked with Tony Macy, Sophie Matsuka, Stephanie Bork, and Maddie Suter on Tuesday during the media availability. You'll hear from them. We're going to stay on the Union College campus and talk with Athletic Director Jim McLaughlin. I sat down with him recently to discuss the future of Mesa Rink once hockey is done this season. What are they going to do with the facility? Jim will talk about that, and I'll have a story in the Daily Gazette on Friday as well as online Thursday at dailygazette.com. And then a tradition like no other, Super Bowl picks. Super Bowl 59 coming up Sunday with my Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Some of my Gazette colleagues offered their picks for Sunday's big game. You'll hear that as well. So coming up, we'll talk Union College men's and women's hockey. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
In school sports, it's easy to see the wins, the moments that make headlines. But there's so much work that goes unseen for any of it to happen. My name is Phil Risen, and I'm the Executive Director of the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. Throughout the country, athletic administrators dedicate countless hours to making life-changing opportunities possible for student-athletes through sports. Their sacrifice is fueled by the belief that every student can grow and deserves their time to shine. On behalf of the NIAAA, we want to thank every athletic administrator for your tireless dedication to providing 7.8 million students across the country a path to a better future.
This message presented by the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Hi, this is New York State Assemblyman Angelo Santa Barbara. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Welcome back to the podcast. The Union men and women hockey team play again this weekend. The men head to the Central New York. They'll take on Colgate on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then Cornell on Saturday also at 7 o'clock. Big games for the Garner Chargers as they look to get a top four spot and a first round bye for the ECAC hockey tournament. Right now they are in a spot tied for third with Dartmouth with 26 points. They're both 3 points behind second place Colgate and four behind conference leading Quinnipiac. So a big weekend in store. One of the things with Union's record this year, 15-9-2, they're 15-0-1 against teams below them in the pairwise rankings, and the pairwise rankings help determine the 16-team field for the NCAA hockey tournament. But 0-9-1 against teams above them, and Colgate and Cornell are above Union right now. Union tied for 40th, Colgate 21, and Cornell is 25th. So these are very important games. And as I said with Josh Schalgi on Wednesday's podcast, I think the only way Union's going to get in to the NCAA tournament is if they win the ACAC hockey tournament and the automatic bid. It's tough to climb almost 25 spots to get in to a spot in the top 16. So and I think the way it is this year, I think is ECAC hockey is only going to get one team in the NCAA tournament. So you heard from Josh Howji on Wednesday. Let's hear from the players stepping to the microphone during Tuesday's media availability, where Cullen Ferguson, Kaden Villegas, and Brandon Burr.
Guys, interesting stat with regards to the pairwise. You guys are 15-1 against teams below you in the pairwise, but 0-9-1 against teams above you, and obviously you'll be playing two teams above you in Colgate and Cornell this weekend. So how important is it to get these wins and move up in the ECAC stands right now, because you guys right now third place there with 3 points behind Colgate?
Yeah, I mean, it's super important. I think our team has addressed that. We understand that, if we want to be the best, we got to beat the best, and I think that's going to be a motivating factor moving forward the rest of the season. It has to be.
Kaden?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to beat the good teams, and I think that's what's motivating us right now, because we know how good of a team we are, and we just need to take that step, and I think the guys are going to do it.
Brandon?
Yeah, I'd agree. It's going to be a good test this weekend, and we're going to give our best effort and hopefully come away with both wins.
Starting with Cullen, just to have a weekend with the standings, because close they are, to eke out the 2 points and then, win the following days. How big is that, and how would you guys kind of help to build on that momentum?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Every point matters at this point in the season. The race is so tight every single year. I try to preach on that to the younger guys, the guys who haven't played in the ECAC, but it's such a tight race and every point matters. So you just want to make sure that you're showing up for every single period, every single game. You can never take a night off. So I think, yeah, the fact that we got 5 out of 6 points was huge. We don't always do that against Yale and Brown. Sometimes they find a way to squeak one out against us, but I was happy that we got the job done this year.
With the standings, Josh was talking about taking it game by game, and that's kind of how you have to be. Does it make it easier to do that when the standings are so close, because you know how much each game means?
Yeah, I mean, you got to take it one game at a time. You can't be looking in the future. You can't be looking down weeks in the future. You need to look at you need to be in the present on the ice too. So I think the more you can stay in the moment, the better you'll be. So when it comes down to if we were playing Cornell on Friday, we'd be focusing on Cornell on Friday. But we got Colgate, so it's like that's the team we want to focus on, and then we'll flip the page. So,
Brandon, your thoughts on that?
Like this point in the year, like every point's so important. Every team's fighting for that bye. Like we're in that position right now, but we know teams are going to try to come for us, so we got to hold that out. It's going to be a big weekend.
Kaden, obviously Colgate you haven't seen yet this year, but they quietly have moved up in the standings in second place there, just a point behind Quinnipiac. So what do you know about them, and how concerned are you guys about them?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say we're concerned about them. We're more concerned about ourselves and just focusing on, being ready for practice every day so we can head into Friday on good minds and confident. But, we know we're there an offensive team, and they're looking for transition plays. So we're harping on, just tracking back in practice, and we're going to have to do that in the game. So limiting their offense and then just taking it to them and having a lot of ozone time, that's what we want. So we're not too worried.
Colin, your thoughts on that?
Can you repeat the question?
Colgate has moved up quietly in the standings. Point out, what concerns you about them as you go into this game Friday?
Yeah, I mean, they're gifted offensively. They'll kill you off the rush. So we need to make sure that we have a good F3 and that we shut down their transitions. I think they have a lot. They've always had a really good decor. They have three guys that produce really well for them. So making sure that we are always finishing our hits on them. I mean, yeah, Vegas said it best. We just got to shut them down offensively and play our game, really.
Now, we've talked about slow starts, which you didn't have against Brown. But that third period against Brown, you guys took 5 penalties. You only had a couple shots on goal. So how important is it to attack if you have a lead going into the third period instead of sitting back?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we try to do. But obviously the team's going to have that desperation mode in them. So we need to just stay on the gas pedal. I mean, the penalties, the way they were going, it was tough to, the momentum was swinging back and forth. And I think that their power play was getting a lot of opportunities, so it was tough to fight and punch back. But at the end of the day, we got the job done. I don't really care how we did it.
Brandon, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Ferg said it pretty well there. Like, obviously, we weren't trying to come out slow in the third, but they came out desperate. They kind of outplayed us, but I think just staying on the box is a big thing, and if we can do that, I think we match up with a lot of teams very well, 5-on-5.
Okay, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, all the penalties in the third period, we got to, you know, be disciplined, but our PK did a hell of a job there and killing those off, and we got momentum as much as we could, and we might not have got a bunch of shots, but the guys are sacrificing their body and putting it on the line for us, so I thought it was a good team win.
All right, Super Bowl picks.
I want the Eagles to win.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I want the Eagles to win too, but I think the Chiefs are going to win, so sorry.
I don't really like either team at all, but
why?
I don't know. I'm a Seahawks fan, and I'd say the Eagles, though. I'd rather them than the Chiefs again. So.
Yeah. Now let's talk Union College women's hockey. The Garner Chargers playing their final two regular season games ever at Messer Inc. as Colgate comes to town Friday for a 6 o'clock start, and Cornell on Senior Day at 3 o'clock on Saturday. The Garner Chargers have a shot at home ice for the first round game in the ECAC hockey tournament. Right now, they're a half point behind Brown for that eighth and final spot. As I mentioned at the top, Union was actually in eighth place after Friday when they beat Brown. But on Saturday, Union lost to Yale 3-2 in New Haven, and Brown edged RPI in Providence. So it was a flip-flop, and Brown's back on top by a half point. There's four games remaining. Union closes out the regular season next weekend at Princeton and Quinnipiac. So Union's put themselves in a good spot. I mean, they had a little struggle there, but then they won four in a row, including the Mayor's Cup victory. So, I mean, they're playing decently. I mean, they got off to a rough start in that Yale game, only had one shot on goal in the first period, but they almost had a chance to at least tie the game and send it to overtime. But it should be good matchups this weekend. And as I said, the final regular season games at Mesa, of course, Saturday is Senior Day, so the seniors will be honored after the game. We talked with several members of the Union women's team on Tuesday at the media availability. So here are head coach Tony Macy and players Sophie Matsoukas, Stephanie Bork, and Maddie Suter.
The Bills going to win this week?
You missed our conversation.
Yeah.
We'll talk Eagles on that. But let's talk about the last two regular season home games for the women. How important is it to, you know, you want to have one more game here at Mesa, obviously, in the postseason. How important is this weekend to get to that goal?
Yeah, I mean, we got to grab points where we can. Right now we're sitting in the ninth position, right? So we've got some people we've got to try and catch, so we got to make sure that we're trying to grab points this weekend, hopefully, and move on to next weekend and do the same thing. It's a tough weekend, the next two, so you're bringing in the number four, number five team in the country this year, so, or this week, so we got to make sure we're ready to go for that.
Maddie?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Tony just said. We got to really dial in this week. This weekend's important, standings-wise, and we'd obviously like to catch some people ahead of us, so hopefully we can do that this weekend.
Stephanie?
I think they both touched on some good points, I think. Definitely it's going to be both two very difficult games, but I think it's just sticking to our structure and to what we know, and I think just getting on the forecheck and stuff like that, I think that'll help us a lot.
Sophie?
I think being in ninth place, we don't want this to be our last two home games at Mesa, and I think that just using that to motivate us to push even harder and get points out of these games and hopefully get an extra game here.
You guys may obviously have the four-game winning streak you just had. I mean, how much confidence, even the Yale game, you guys, you know, were in it there till the end. So how much confidence does this team have heading into this weekend, especially teams that you played very well against on the road at Cornell, at Colgate? I mean, you almost beat Colgate. And he did beat Cornell in this. So, I mean, how much confidence you guys have going into this weekend?
I think it was huge. I think that seeing in the Yale game that when we played our game, we could compete with them, and we didn't show up at the beginning. So once we got into that, we competed with them, and then that proves that we got to play our game from the beginning. And if we do that this weekend, we'll be successful.
So we'll go this way. So when you think you look back on your career at Mesa Rink, what do you think the experience is going to mean to you down the road once your playing career is over?
I think, I don't know. I think it'll be huge. I think just seeing what we all accomplished and seeing where the team was at when I first got here to how I left it. And I think that just, or our class left it, not me specifically, but I think just seeing that and seeing how the program grew, and I think that'll be something that I'll look back on a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of great memories were made in this place, and especially as a freshman coming in, and like this was your first like college game. I think that's really important, and for the seniors, like they left it in a better place, and so I think it's just carry on that like memory and like holding what all their hard work that they did for the program, bringing it into like the next rink next year and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with what Soap said. I mean, thinking back to our freshman year, we won what, 5 games all year, so. And now we're breaking program records, so it's just, it's pretty special. I'll remember this building for a long time, for sure, yeah.
That's great. And Coach, just for you, what was your observations of Union when you were behind the bench at Clarkson and then, you know, the quick turnaround here this summer?
Yeah, I mean, we were always coming in knowing that they were going to work hard, but at the end of the day, probably going to be able to pull one out, right? It was just the mentality we always had coming in. And then getting here, seeing that the hard work was still there, you know, that was something that was instilled in them and that they were going to bring every day. It was just being able to play with a little bit more structure to give them opportunities to have chances to be in games a little bit more and limit teams' other chances. And they've really grasped that this year. And, you know, we've found a lot of success with it because, you know, they put in the effort and they've dialed things in when we need to.
Tony, being able to, you know, you guys beating Cornell earlier this year, you know, playing Colgate to a one goal game, how much do you think, what can you take from those games, and also how much does that help from kind of a confidence perspective to be like, hey, we've done this before?
Yeah, going into games like that, you know, it definitely helps the confidence. You obviously got to start well, because teams like Cornell and Colgate, they try to jump on you early and try and put you in a hole. And that was something that we really focused on when we went down there. So making sure we're doing the same thing. We're going to have to weather some storms. You know, Soap's going to make some big saves for us and keep us in the game. So that's going to be huge for us. And then just being able to capitalize on our chances. Like, we want to try and keep these to, you know, a 2-1, one goal game. That's what's going to favor us. You know, we can't get into the shootouts, those types of things, because, you know, they're talented teams and they've been doing that to a lot of teams. So we got to try and keep a very defensive style and limit their chances.
Tony, how much have the seniors helped your transition from coming to Clarkson to Union, especially how late the process was?
Oh, geez. From handing out apparel to getting things in line, they've helped out a ton right from the start. You know, I think the biggest thing is them buying into what we were trying to accomplish this year. You know, we're still got some goals that are out there that we're still reaching towards, but the big thing was, you know, having them be the ones that showed the way to the younger groups, and show the way to, you know, hey, this is what's going to happen at practice, this is what we had, and this is why we're doing things different this year.
For the seniors, start with Maddie, what has the transition been, what was the transition like? Obviously, as I mentioned, it was late in the process here, you know, late summer when Tony came in.
Yeah, I mean, it's different, but the coaching staff made the transition super easy, and I think the team has all kind of been on the same page from the get-go, and that's also helped a lot and made things a lot easier transitioning.
Sophie?
I think Maddie said it. I think at the beginning we were all a little scared of a change, but I think we all knew that we needed it, so we all bought in from the start, and I think that we're all really upset now that we only get 1 year with Tony with everything that's changed, and again, seeing how the program's changing and going in the direction it is. And I think, yeah, a little bit sad, but happy for the program.
Did it help the transition knowing he was coming from Clarkson with such a recent great tradition that they built up there?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think seeing that they're a winning program and seeing what they've been able to accomplish was something that motivated us to, or made us happy about Tony coming here and seeing what he could do with us.
Sophie, most memorable moment in your 4 years here at Mesa?
Oh, that's a tough one. I brought this up in my senior video. I think beating Penn State in their barn was probably my favorite game. It was an overtime game, 2-1, and we had beat the program record that game as well, and I think that it was a great game.
For you, Maddie?
I think my best memory probably with Union has been my first ever career game. I scored my first career goal, and I talked about this in my video as well, but I got to see like a video of my parents after reacting to the goal, and they were pretty happy. They didn't get to be there, sadly, but it was just something that really stuck with me over my 4 years. So,
Super Bowl picks?
I'm going to go with the Bills since we're in New York. 35-34.
Oh.
The Bills, that's kind of tough if they're not playing.
Someone has to say.
Yeah. Hey, about you guys?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, you're good.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hate to say it, but I think the Chiefs, maybe like 31-24.
I hate you.
Yeah. I'm hoping the Eagles. I don't really have a score prediction, but I think it'll definitely be a close game, but I'm hoping the Eagles.
Sophie?
I'm not a big football fan, but I wish I could say the Bills. But I might have to go with the Chiefs.
I hate you.
And I don't get a score prediction, but I think the Gatorade will be purple. And the anthem will be less than a minute and a half. That's Emily's guess, and I am agreeing with her.
And Beyonce will win country album of the year.
That's messed up. That was messed up.
We're going to stay on the Union College campus, and we're going to talk about the future of Messer Rink, what's going to happen once the hockey is done. I spoke with Union Athletic Director Jim McLaughlin recently about that, and you'll hear from him next here on the Parting Shots podcast.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by NISFA and the New York State Athletic Administrators Association.
Hey, everybody, this is Don Barnes from 38 Special, and you're always rocking into the night when you're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Hold on loosely, Ken. Just don't ever let go.
Welcome back to the podcast, and I'm Ken Schott, the host of the Parting Shots podcast and sports editor of the Daily Gazette. Yeah, we talked about a lot of hockey with the men and women's teams at Union. So what's going to happen to Messer Rink once the seasons are done for both teams? A lot of speculation what's going to happen, and are there going to be more locker rooms? Are they going to put turf on the hockey surface? What are they going to do with the boards and the stands and all that stuff? So last week I sat down with Jim McLaughlin to talk about that. I'll have a question and answer session with him in the Daily Gazette online at dailygazette.com on Thursday and in the print edition on Friday. So here's my conversation with Union Athletic Director Jim McLaughlin.
Well, Jim, what can you tell us about what's the future holds for Messer Rink once the hockey season is done there?
Yeah, so we're really excited about what we're going to be able to do with Messer Rink. And, you know, while Mohawk Harbor is outstanding for both of our hockey programs, given our campus another strength and conditioning room, it's going to free up a lot of square footage for the remainder of our 24 sports here. So it's going to provide us additional locker room space for some of our programs. And what we're really excited about is that we're in the planning stages right now to convert Messer Rink, where we will remove the boards, glass, and bleachers, and that will become an indoor turf facility, which will be outstanding for all of our sports, but particularly as I'm looking at our spring sports right now, lacrosse, baseball, softball, and the weather outside, it'll be a great place for them to train and practice, but for all of our sports throughout the year.
Now, right now, they're still in the old field house, right?
They are. You know, the weather has lightened up a little bit, so we've gotten outside with shortened practices, but, you know, the ability to have an indoor turf space, as opposed to the tartan floor surface, will be much better received by our athletes. And it'll free up more space for our entire campus for recreational opportunities as well. So we're really excited about that.
When does work begin on
getting rid of the boards, the glass, the stands?
He's still finalizing the day. You know, first and foremost, we've got to make sure that we've got a home at Mohawk Harbor, which we're confident on the schedule and timing and different things like that. But until we see that facility up and running, we're not going to touch Messer Rink until we're complete down at Mohawk Harbor.
Mm-hmm. So that could be summer maybe, or how soon would we have an idea?
So from everything that's being reported back, the project remains on schedule. The original intended date was September 1st, and it looks as though they're on track to meet that. Now, anything can happen in construction, but I'm really confident about this team, Lachaise and Galesi, and their ability to get this project done in time, if not ahead of time.
Yeah. As far as locker room space, right now you have the men's hockey locker room, yep, the visiting locker room, the women's locker room, and you have some lockers downstairs. I mean, do you expect more locker room space in Mesa once the hockey's out?
We don't, but we certainly expect to repurpose existing space, right? We're not going to need a visiting hockey locker room any longer, so we can turn that into space for one of our teams. And we have two outstanding locker rooms that we can utilize for our existing teams as well. We're still planning through that, exactly where we're going to place our teams between Messer Rink and the Fieldhouse, but it's good to have some flexibility to be able to utilize that space.
What do you think the cost is going to be to get all this done?
It's with the architect now, so I'll wait until they come back with some cost estimates. We had some preliminary renderings that they gave us, but right now they're working on the cost analysis for it.
What happens to the scoreboard?
That's going down to Mohawk Harbor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's that going to be taken care of as far as getting it down there?
Yeah, so we worked with a great group through Daktronics, Rhombus Enterprises, who he and his team just did a great job putting the board up. They just completed the board at Bailey Field for us as well, too. And they're really skilled in this type of work. And it'll be real tedious and meticulous, but taking it apart, shipping it down, and putting it right back up.
What happens to the ice making equipment?
This is going to be part of the project that we're looking into about how we refurbish Mesa. So I can say this, after this season, we'll no longer be making ice at Mesa Rink.
So with the getting rid of the bleachers and boards and glass, how much more room do you think you'll have? I mean, can more than one team be able to practice?
We can. You know, just rough preliminary estimates, it's about 70 by 40 yards. You know, you get the ice sheet itself, and we know what that is. But taking out the bleachers really gives us some additional room there. So it will give our teams plenty of space to get the work done that they need.
Is the building in good shape without, you know, obviously the ice and all that stuff, but is the building in good shape that there's no structural issues or anything like that?
There is not. The building's in terrific shape. It's our hub of athletics. It's going to continue to remain our hub of athletics, from our training services to strength and conditioning to a majority of our locker rooms as well, too. You know, as you know, Ken, it's a beautiful building with the dome and all of the trusses and arched wood that come together. So it's going to remain a beautiful building that's in great shape. It was just the ice making that we were a little concerned with.
Yeah. Obviously with the Zamboni room, that'll be converted. As far as, you know, knocking everything out, that'll give you some space too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking at that space for additional offices as well too. And as we all know, you can never have enough storage space. So to have that will be really useful for us.
What happens to the, I guess that was originally the women's lounge, was now basically used for TV purposes, for game. What happens to that?
Yeah, we're going to keep that room intact. You know, that can be just another study space for students and other things like that, or just for students to go take a break in as well too. So it'll be great space along with the lounge that we have for all of our students down in the Garnet Room down below.
What are your most vivid memories of Messer Rink?
I'd say there's just been so many outstanding games there. I mean, to see teams like North Dakota and Michigan and BU come into this rink and just really, you know, praise the facility and the environment, right, of how loud it gets in there with the roof. Those are some of my great memories. The championships are always there as well, too. But I think first and foremost, it's just all the people that came out to support us, that have continued to support us, that Mesa Rink was part of their Friday and Saturday nights, and all of the terrific players who have come through this program. But there certainly have been some great games as well.
You mentioned championships. What happens to the banners?
Banners are going to be transported down to Mohawk Harbor.
Will they be over the ice, or has that been decided?
To be determined.
To be determined.
Yeah.
Just the importance of Mesa, how much did it really define this campus?
Yeah, it was a really important piece, right? I mean, you look at just the success of the men's program and what they did and how it rallied the campus and the community and the packed houses that we have. You know, you look at where our women's program has been going and where it's going to go in the future. But it's just been, it's been a part of the fabric of this campus, right? Where it's a place where students, faculty, staff, community members could come together in support of one common thing, and that was Union College and Union Hockey. And we all have so many great, vivid memories, and you know, I'm glad that the facility itself will be here to stay as we move into our new hockey arena.
Coming up next, let's hear the Super Bowl picks of my Gazette colleagues, as well as my pick for the Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl 59. I think you have an idea who I'm going to pick. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast. The Daily Gazette has some great subscription deals happening. Sign up today at www.dailygazette.com. And as always, when credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette.
Speed, skill, physicality. Home to college hockey's elite teams, coaches, and student athletes. ECAC Hockey, 12 programs competing at the highest level. A league where champions are born and world-class professionals are trained. Where history is abundant and a commitment to the cutting edge is unrivaled. The best facilities, the fiercest competition. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Hey, I'm Frank Caliendo, pretending to be Morgan Freeman, maybe even a little bit of John Madden or Robert Downey Jr., comedian, impressionist, playboy, philanthropist, maybe not the last two. And you're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're getting set for Super Bowl 59 on Sunday between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a rematch of Super Bowl 57, which the Chiefs won on a late field goal, 38-35, thanks to a phantom holding call against the Eagles' defense. Yeah, it was a phantom. There's no hold right there. Anyway, the Chiefs looking to make history to become the first team to win three straight Super Bowls. The Eagles looking to end that string, looking for their second Super Bowl title. The first one came in February 2018 when backup quarterback Nick Foles led the Eagles to a 41-33 victory over the New England Patriots. So that was a rematch of a Super Bowl matchup. The Eagles had lost years ago against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So it's a rematch again for the Eagles against the Chiefs. So I had a chance to talk to some of my Gazette colleagues about this Super Bowl. And here's their picks for Super Bowl 59.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette producer Amira Dichie. My Super Bowl 59 prediction is, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles as a fellow proud Philadelphian. Go Birds!
Hi, this is Daily Gazette reporter and co-host of the Stan and Chen Show podcast, Shenandoah Breer. My Super Bowl 59 prediction is that the real winner of this all is Kendrick Lamar.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette digital producer Stan Hootie. My Super Bowl 59 prediction is Kansas City 28, Philadelphia 21. Because Kansas City, just get the third title in and then just go away. Andy Reid, retire and let the whole thing blow up. Go Bills.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette reporter Ted Remsnyder.
My Super Bowl 59 prediction is Chiefs 27, Eagles 24, and I think the Chiefs will complete the three-peat.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette Associate Sports Editor Will Springstead. My Super Bowl 59 prediction is Chiefs 31, Eagles 28. I imagine it's going to be a Harrison Butker game-winning field goal because it's just been that kind of year.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette sports writer Mike McAdam. My Super Bowl 59 prediction is relatively low, Eagles 21, Kansas City Chiefs 17. The reason I'm picking the Eagles to win is because I want them to lose. You're talking to the person who picked American Pharoah to lose the third leg of the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes. So I'm hoping that my lousy predictive skills will create a Kansas City Chiefs victory, which is what I'm rooting for. Sorry, Ken.
And now for my Super Bowl pick. Are you kidding me? You think I'm picking the Chiefs? Get out of here. The Eagles win their second Super Bowl in my lifetime, 41-21. Saquon Barkley is going to run roughshod over the Chiefs defense. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a type of game he had in the NFC Championship game against the Washington Commanders. This Eagles team has been awesome all year, and it's been a fun ride this season. Actually, it was started 2-2. I didn't think things would go that well, but they turned things around after the bye week in week five, and it's been a hell of a ride. So let's bring it home, boys. Bring home that Eagles, that Super Bowl championship. I'll be back to wrap up the podcast next here on the Parting Shots Podcast.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Hi, this is Kenny Albert, the voice of the NHL on TNT, radio voice of the New York Rangers, and the NFL and Major League Baseball on Fox Sports as well. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Back to wrap up the podcast. You can make your big game pick in the final week of the Daily Gazette's You Pick 'em Football Contest. Go to dailygazette.com to play. The NASCAR season kicks off next Sunday with the Daytona 500. And that means the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest is back. You pick the drivers who will finish in the top five. The winner gets a $50 gift card. To play, go to dailygazette.com. Just because COVID-19 mandates are easing, that does not mean you should relax. Be vigilant. If you have not gotten vaccinated or received a booster shot, please do so. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. And do it for your friends. Don't forget to download the Daily Gazette app and sign up for our e-edition so you never miss a headline. Subscribe today at www.dailygazette.com. We have a lot of great specials going on. When credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette. That wraps up another edition of the Parting Shots Podcast. I want to thank members of the Union men's and women's hockey teams, Union Athletic Director Jim McLaughlin, and my Gazette colleagues for being a part of the show. I have some great guests coming up over the next few weeks. I'll have my annual NBA roundtable at the All-Star break next week with a pair of Capital Region natives, the NBA on ESPN Radio play-by-play announcer Mark Keschesser and the Associated Press NBA beat writer Tim Reynolds. We will have a lot to discuss. Then in 2 weeks, Dave Sims, the new radio play-by-play voice of the New York Yankees and, like me, a Philadelphia native, will be on to talk about his new role. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, email them to me at Schott, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Follow me on X, Threads, and Blue Sky at Slapshots. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
from the Parting Shots Podcast Studio in Schenectady, New York. Good day, good sports, and fly, Eagles, fly to a Super Bowl championship.